know you came here to say. If you afraid, then come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now, so let me see you get loose.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
24-6, the Browns fall to the Rams, 2-5 on the season, and that one went, if you listened to the show last week, kind of like in our worst-case scenario, what we thought might happen there. Todd Gurley runs wild, the defensive front of the Rams overwhelms the offense, and mistakes happen, 4 turnovers, 11 penalties. The Browns couldn't get out of their own way, and then they couldn't get in Todd Gurley's way, and it all ended up with a 24-6 game that was at times closer. The score was closer than the game felt at certain points, and then at the end, obviously 24-6, the Rams did it. The Browns outgained the Rams in this game by about 60 yards, but a lot of it meaningless, and ultimately all that mattered. It could have been worse. They missed 2 field goals. Did Greg Zuerlein, although very impressive how far he kicked that one from 63.
Yes. I mean,
that would have been good from – it sounded – I've never heard a football
sound. It might have been good from 66.
I've never heard a football sound that way when it was
kicked. Really?
Yeah, it sounded like a cannon, and then he pushed it wide right. But just a disappointing game for the Browns against a team that seemed to be bigger, stronger, faster, more physical, more dominant, and that's basically what happened. The defense did a good job for a while. The first half they played pretty well. And then it just too much Todd Gurley. The chunk run came, and that was kind of where the wheels just fell off the bus.
Isn't it kind of what I said, though? You know, them having to have the performance where you limit Todd Gurley in what they want to do, and you have to do it for 60 minutes. And I thought, as you watch the game, as you know, some of the rushes that went for a loss started going for 3 yards, starting going for 6 yards, and those 6-yard runs started going for 12-yard runs, 9-yard runs, and then eventually, bad angles, the poor tackling, the bad eye control crept up with us, and allowed Todd Gurley to have that great run. He did, you know, leaping over guys. And you're right. As you watch the football game, you felt like you were behind after the first initial fumble, and they got up the touchdown.
You were, and he had. If there was ever,
I mean,
a
we
game,
were.
What
yes.
did we talk about in our preview? That this game was going to be controlled in the trenches, and that battle was won by the Rams, although I thought you got Randy Stark's best performance of the year. But that battle was won by the Rams, certainly on the defensive side. And I said, you got to get out to a lead early. Nick Foles was struggling all day. He really hit one nice pass to Britt for the touchdown. That was it.
Yep.
Other than that, I thought the Browns did a good job against the pass against him. But you needed to get up, because if you didn't, they were going to be able to get it to Gurley. And if you go back and you go through, and it's typical for the Browns this season. Todd Gurley at the first half, at halftime, 45 yards rushing. 9 carries, 45 yards rushing. Still 5 a carry. Solid. And then you go to the end of the game, and Todd Gurley rushes for nearly a buck 30 and averages about 7 yards a carry on you there. And that's where you lose it. And Todd Gurley, not only that, he added 4 catches for 35 yards to boot. So when you look at what he did total to you, a buck 63 and 2 touchdowns on 24 touches. He forced 11 missed tackles, over 100, I think 111 of his 128 yards rushing came after contact.
Yeah. I mean, which means we were semi-stout at the point of attack, but what he did once he broke the line of scrimmage was run through the arm tackles, run out of bad angles, and so on and so forth. And ultimately, as I saw after yesterday, I'll call my shot right now, Todd Gurley wins the NFC Rookie of the Year, and Amari Cooper wins the AFC Rookie of the Year.
God, Amari Cooper's good.
Isn't he good?
Amari Cooper.
He is polished.
We've seen the best rookies in the NFL, certainly on the offensive side of the ball. I would agree with that because, yeah, Amari Cooper's as good as it gets as a rookie wide receiver, and we've seen Todd Gurley now, who was absolutely dominant. The vision, and you maybe had a better sense of it from TV than
yes.
I did from being there, but the vision to make that cutback, and you see runs like that sometimes in big-time college,
yep.
But that's like a high school run where you're able to literally reverse the entire field and run like
it that. It is. Again, watching the game and then watching the replay and then me re-watching the football game as well, there were times where actually in the hole when every running back wants to finally get the space and they want to burst to get that 12-yard chunk run, you know, and get tackled in the secondary – Todd Gurley actually slowed down in the hole to allow a block to materialize right in front of him and capture an edge on a defender that he would have ultimately had to, you know, run through or create some contact with, that he let a blocker get in front of him. And so he would slow down in the hole and then accelerate once the block was captured and make a 7 or 8 yard gain into the 12 yard gain, you know, and ultimately allow him to get into the second level to create the space to open up his vision to make the kind of cutback that he did.
Yeah, he had the patience. He showed patience kind of like Le'Veon Bell couple times, waiting, and then exploding. Just an impressive performance from him. And I thought the defense, they did, you know, for a time play very well, certainly early, but they were basically in the hole 10-0 right out of the gate because of two turnovers by the offense. It is not that was the one that was depressing to me, and I came out of that game last night more depressed than some of the other ones because this was one where this team was what the Browns are supposed to be. Dominant, physical, aggressive defense. I mean, the hit that jarred the ball free from Travis Benjamin is going to jar the ball free from anybody.
Right.
That was just a violent hit, and they looked bigger, stronger, faster, and more physical.
And in rewatching the football game, the one thing that I noticed, and there are times that the Cleveland Browns have these situations come up where the ball is caught and it's an immediate catch tackle. Every single time, you know, because the long ball, we took our few shots, you know, hit the one to Benjamin that was called back on a penalty. We took our shots and missed a couple. The intermediate, that 12 to 18 yard chunk, was not there. So we took what was available, which was the 3 to 8 yard range. And every single time, I mean, Brian Hartline almost got his head knocked off. You know, every time anybody caught that quick out, that quick flat route, that quick slant, it was boom. And they went immediately to the ground, which coincides with my point. The St. Louis Rams defenders they understood their job. They were looking at the right things that took their body to the right place with the right angle and were able to make the play right on the spot.
They were so quick to the ball. I've never seen a team close like that. And you're right. It was so many times you'd catch and you'd think, all right, you have a chance to make one guy miss. It didn't happen.
No.
They tackled very effectively.
Catch tackle, and they were bringing the wood.
Mark Barron, a former safety, was playing Will linebacker, and I think he had 16 tackles in the game. He played phenomenal football for that team. It was bad. This was kind of, again, because
he did have 16. 10 solos, 6 assists.
The Browns are supposed to be that high-flying, hard-hitting, all-over-the-place defense coupled with a powerful offense that can run the football, and that's what we saw the Rams bring to the Browns and beat them at, quote-unquote, their own game. And it was troubling there. You could feel it. You could feel the energy out, and you talked about the intermediate passing game. The only thing that was there was Gary down the seam. That was it.
The sticking out was a great route. It was a great route. Great catch.
The one that he tipped to himself saved a pick six.
Yep.
That was an unbelievable play.
And let me ask you this, only because I was not in the building, and I noticed the fact that, you know, we made mention of it all week, Coach Pettin and some of the other guys, about this raucous environment and having to go on the silent count. Was it that loud?
So it was not very crowded, but at times it did get pretty loud.
Okay, because of the dome.
It would have been amazing to be there probably during the greatest show on turf days and see how loud it could have gotten, because it was surprisingly loud given how few people were actually in the stands.
Right. Okay. I'm just asking.
There was some noise, but it was not.
Because there were a lot of false starts, there were a lot of encroachments, and I'm sure, you know, the way you combat the get off of a team like this with Aaron Donald jumping. I mean, I'll get to my point in a minute, but you can slow up the get off by holding your water offensively, which means you sit in your stance and are comfortable knowing that Josh McCown's going to have some flexion in his voice. It's going to be hard count. It's going to be different than it's been before. For us to have to go silent, that allows Aaron Donald and Farrelly and those other guys, literally, they're getting off right when you're getting off because they know what's coming.
And those guys, I mean, the Browns tried so many different things to go ahead and get into, you know, at times, double-teaming interior, double-teaming on the exterior. They ran a lot of stunts, the Rams did. There seemed to be a breakdown more often than not. McCown was under duress all day, and if there's one thing that you cannot question about Josh McCown, that is his toughness, because he took an absolute beating in this game at the hands of the St. Louis Rams, took some big shots, and I know he ultimately ended up leaving the game. But when you saw what he went through, up close. It was tough. And I'll give credit to this Rams team. They missed Chris Long, who came in for them. William Hayes, 2 sacks on the day, played very well. Got around Mitchell Schwartz a couple of times, who had probably, he struggled a little bit today. But, I mean, you could go through the line. If you go back and watch the tape, you go through the line and you see, you know, breakdowns from Joe Thomas. You see complete breakdowns from Betonio. Aaron Donald basically shoved Betonio into McCown a couple of times. Alex Mack.
And Aaron Donald literally
a rough day.
Walked into the backfield and made a 5-yard line. I mean, that to me, rewatching the game again, you didn't realize it in the pace
gap.
Of a game.
Yeah.
You know, them splitting the gaps. I don't believe, and as I had to look at the stats, which are right in front of us, you know, they had 5 tackles for a loss. It seemed like they had 15 because they were living in our backfield and the amount of pressure that Josh McCown was under. And we had 5 tackles for a loss. And, you know, we got to Gurley early in the first half. I'm sure a majority of those came in the first half. But collectively, through what, 7 football games, we have to be in the lower quartile of the league in runs for losses, tackles for loss.
In terms of our defense generating
them? In terms of our offense, how often are we tackled for no gain or a loss?
So of the backs in the game, the backs that have averaged 11 carries per game this season, the Browns backs are tackled for a loss or no gain on almost 30% of their runs, which is third highest in the league. Only Adrian Peterson's worse behind that awful Minnesota line. And there was one other person that was worse, but the Browns are third.
And not
worst.
Knowing that, I could probably assume that. Because it's bad. Putting us, I mean, running on first down, you get a first down, you run on first down, and you're in second and 14.
Right.
That can't happen. Because based on what we knew about this football team, running on first down after a first down, you'd hope to be in second and 6. And we're going the wrong way. Which puts John DeFilippo an entirely different list of plays that he wants in that window. He now has to be safe. You know, he now has to get 8 yards back to put us in 3rd and 7+, which is a situation, as we know, with Brian Hoyer as a quarterback last year, we were in the bottom quartile of that as well. We were constantly in 3rd and 7+, and it hurt us as the season went on.
And you look at this game, and you say to yourself, Josh McCown completed 80% of his passes, averaged over 8 yards an attempt.
Yeah.
And our quarterbacks combined went 30 for 37 for 300 yards, 10 yards of completion. I mean, almost, you know, 9 yards an attempt. And it wasn't good enough. Josh McCown's quarterback rating 102. Why? 4 turnovers, 11 penalties. Penalties wiping out big plays, etc. And, you know, you look at the completions, though. Somebody needs to step up at the wide receiver position alongside Travis Benjamin. He had 7 for 73 to Duke Johnson, 6 for 101 to Barnage, Benjamin 4 for 47, Dre 2 for 10, Turbin 2 for 8. So your three other receivers, Gabriel, Hartline, and Hawkins, combined to catch 9 passes. That part of it's okay, right? Passes for 48 yards. 9 passes for 48 yards. That's unacceptable. And, you know, I know they're entrenched, and that's wonderful, but somebody's got to step up there alongside Travis Benjamin and Gary Barnes. I mean, the fact of the matter is this is a team right now that's setting records with Josh McCown throwing the ball to Gary Barnage, Travis Benjamin, and their running backs.
And I hate to say it, multiple times in that football game, those windows going to Travis Benjamin are getting smaller because we're going back to the plays. I mean, think of the slant that we beat Aqib Talib on last week
multiple times.
We got it one time, didn't get it again. That deep comeback, they were sitting on that. It was almost picked. You know, so.
And by the way, the bomb that he caught was a hell of a catch with a guy literally in his
straight
hip pocket.
Yeah, exactly.
And he got his feet.
Right.
As I noted
so,
on the television.
Travis Benjamin is becoming a guy that's getting earmarked by the defense as a guy that's going to get 9+ targets by Josh McCown or whoever the quarterback is for the Cleveland Browns.
And why wouldn't it be?
Of course, he's delivering. But they're also, as they continue to grow and progress in this offense, because he can't run the slant, he can't run that deep comeback consistently and just run the go route. To become the full wide receiver, he's got to run complementary routes, and that's all fine and good. But we're going to get Travis Benjamin killed because we're throwing into tighter and tighter windows as he becomes a bigger and bigger target for whoever's playing quarterback for the Browns.
But that's why you need these other guys to take some pressure off him on the outside, and it's not happening. And you know, Taylor Gabriel had a very nice rookie year, averaging 17.3 yards a catch. This year, he's under 10. The fumble right there, costly. A horrible way to start. I mean, the absolute worst way to start that game.
Well, no, the best way was to get the three and out that you did.
You got that.
Yeah.
You got it back, and then boom, you're down seven.
I know.
You can't have that. And again, what did we say? They had to come out, and they had to get up early. Didn't do it. This game was going to be won in the trenches, and it was won in the trenches by the St. Louis Rams. They won the ball. They won the battle up front on both sides
physically.
Of the ball, ultimately, physically, and certainly the back end of their defense was certainly very, very impressive. And this comment just came in right now. You guys are acting like the Rams are the 85 Bears. The Rams are under 500. Think we are just bad. I was there, and again,
they're not under 500. They are 500.
They are 500. They have given up some big points to some teams, but that defense, I was very impressed by that defense. And it was playing without Chris Long or Ogletree.
Well, that being said, and to be very realistic, okay, they're a good defense, you know, that have their strengths, but with us being as bad as we were in some cases, made them look great yesterday.
Yes.
Okay?
And they certainly did.
We're talking about yesterday. We're not talking about an entire season, and they're not going to go undefeated, and they're not going to, you know, be number one in the league. They've got great players. I thought we made Jeremy Laurinaitis, who's a good linebacker, look really good making some of those plays. I thought Janoris Jenkins, you know, he can play. And like you said, he was underrated in your eyes going into this week, lived up to it when the Browns come to town. Like you said, they have a safety playing a linebacker position, and we can't exploit that.
16 tackles from Mark Barron. The only attempted pass by Josh McCown over 20 yards in the air all day was the one that was called back on the penalty.
To Travis Benjamin.
To Travis Benjamin.
Yep.
That was the only attempt down the field, the only shot for the Browns. He was under pressure on 17 of his 39 dropbacks. That's not a winning formula for this team or any other. And as for the Rams, they were the 32nd ranked offense in the NFL.
Yep.
They've moved up to 31st after their game against the Cleveland Browns. But when you're 3-3 with the 31st ranked offense in the NFL, it means that your defense is pretty good.
It does.
All right, when we come back, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850 here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We know you guys want to react to what you saw, so let us know that. What is the biggest problem with this team right now? Is it time to just play Johnny and see what he can do going forward, even if Josh McCown is able to go this Sunday? Let us know, 216-578-0850, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.